This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, Bahamas. It is Monday, the 19th of April, 2021, and you're on the clock with Aaron Green. Boy, look here, when I hear that theme music, that make me feel like I's a millionaire, man. You make the music make me feel like I done arrived. That's what being, having status should be like in the Caribbean. It ain't no high drive thing, spend plenty money thing. It's a, I can sit under my tamarind tree or my mango tree and eat these mango and chill out a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I think we need to re-examine what success means to us. Because if we formed our own idea of what success meant, then we would be a lot more comfortable and happy in our lives, right? Anyway, good morning this morning. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, and on the clock we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Well, guys, today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And they want to remind you to tune in and learn more about their real property tax forgiveness program. Listen, don't slunk, don't sleep on it. Most importantly, don't feel ashamed of needing help. This is the government's job, is to provide help when it's needed. And we're going to take advantage of that every time they do it. So feel no shame and don't feel afraid. If you're having issues with your real property tax, call in or email in and get the details on how you could start repairing this thing. It ain't too late. It's never too late. Also, it is still Autism Awareness Month, and I am lighting it up blue today. It's a darker shade of blue, right? I got on my little dark blue Androsia, my little dark blue shirt, and my dark blue socks. It's not that it's a dreary day. It's just that this is the blue I'm wearing. And it doesn't matter, because we're going to celebrate autism awareness and the positive impacts that the autism community has on our lives. And don't you forget it, because they do. You may not feel it directly, but trust me, they do have a positive impact. Also, it is Environment Month. Look here, what a wonderful place to be during Environment Month in the Bahamas, perhaps one of the most beautiful places on the planet. Reviewed by the world's best astronauts and cosmonauts, right? And we didn't have to lie about that. We lie about plenty of things now, mind you. We do that. But we didn't have to lie about this one. Every day the astronauts tell us the most favorite part of their day is when they sail over the Bahamas. And it's Environment Month, and it's important for us to recognize our obligation to preserve and protect our environment, our natural resources, not just for our own benefit, you know. Hey, that would be sweet. That would be nice. But it ain't just for us. It's for the entire planet. Because whether you know it or not, this little place called the Bahamas, what happens here impacts the entire planet ecologically and environmentally. This is true. Well, I'm excited because I got some guests in the studio today. The BDM, that's my guess, ratified their first candidate in March, Ms. Nelda Fox. Now, she's the first candidate I was aware they ratified. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful statement. While the country is discussing the role of women in leadership, frontline politics, and public life, the BDM's first candidate is a woman. Now, you see, in the game of politics, optics is king. And I'm sure the party considered carefully which constituencies and candidates they were going to ratify first. So when I saw Miss Fox's name, I said to myself, this is somebody I have to talk to. Now, it took a little while, and I can tell you why it took a little while. Well, I know these guys are busy working on their campaign. Even though you don't see them in the streets on the verge of breaking COVID protocols, they seem to have been running a very COVID-sensitive campaign. I know they're doing big things. And so, but let me tell you why it took me so long. Because I do politics differently. And I didn't want to invite them on the show thinking I invite them on the show to attack them with my political interrogation, right? So I wanted to take some time to get my questions together. And what I've done is, and what I'm in the process of doing is creating a standard list of questions for political candidates, particularly new candidates to the political scene. So I wanted to make sure that I got those questions down, that they weren't laced with my own personal political biases, right? And that they were sound questions that address the issues that need to be addressed. Now, there's no way we're going to get through this entire list of questions today. And so this process is going to be sort of symbiotic, where myself and the guests, we're going to choose which topics we're going to address. But good morning, Ms. Fox, and to your second guest, Mr. Stewart. Good morning, Mr. Cassius Stewart.
Erin Green, it is so good to be here with you, man. We ain't talking a long time.
Absolutely. I haven't had a chance to harass you. Let's just say it clearly, to harass you in a long time.
You know, I see it like a Bahamian. We ain't talking a long time, but it's really good to be here with you. And I'm sure we will have a good dialogue, a good discussion. It's good for us to be able to dissect all of the issues that we face in our country. And our challenge in the BDM is finding the best minds. And, you know, we're going to interrogate Nelly. I guess you're going to interrogate Nelly, but she's up for the fight.
Yeah, and I got some questions here for you as well, right?
Me too?
Yes, absolutely.
And I thought I could escape.
Oh, no. Not at all. In fact, the only way you could escape, and, you know, we have a lot of talk of corruption, right? So I can be very out in the open. If you want, get on my good side. I need a case of mango. I need a case of tamarind. And I'll take a half a case of scarlet plum because they like gold.
And the BDM, our slogan is, consider it done.
What? Listen, dear aunties, old ladies, and people who like to pinch, the fruit is on the way.
Consider it done.
Right, because you see, this is a community effort. I don't want you all to think I is corrupt. I is beg fruit to give to the old and the young. Not us middle-aged people. Y'all can afford to buy fruit. Go support Rasta. But not on the verges and the medians on the road because they're getting locked up, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, Ms. Fox, you're the first ratified candidate for the BDM. What is your political ideology?
Well, good morning, Erin, and thank you so much for having us here. Yes, I am the first candidate that was ratified for the BDM. I think I should put this up.
Well, no, just go straight to the mic.
Okay.
Yeah, put your mouth as close to the mic as possible.
All right. Yes, I am the first candidate ratified for the BDM. And of course, as a woman, I believe in leadership, women role playing a pivotal part in leadership. Mm-hmm. I always was a person who was involved with community service. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a party where, you know, back in the day, you had to do what your parents say. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was one of those children. I played a role in political life from the back and always was interested, you know. But, you know, growing up and seeing what's going on, I said to myself as an adult, let me get more involved. In 2017, I trust myself into the 2017 election. And so
Now, let me ask you a quick question. Were you working with the BDM at that time or working with another party?
Well, actually, you know, the BDM had dissolved in 2012.
Yeah.
I was always a BDM from 2005.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when the BDM dissolved in 2012, of course, you know, you have to still fight. And as a community builder, I always advocate for fairness. I always advocate for women rights. Mm-hmm. When it comes to assisting young people, that was me. So I trust myself into that. But in 2017, my father passed away actually in 2011. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to do is honor my dad by giving my all in all and everything that he taught me growing up to believe in the vision of the last election with the FNM.
Okay. So I'm realizing that I'm supposed to know who your father is. Tell me who your father is.
Well, my father,
well,
he's deceased now.
Yeah.
Is Calvin Spence.
Okay.
From Fort Charlotte.
And so he's deeply rooted in the political movement.
My dad had a saying, Aaron, when the UBP and the FNM, when the FNM split off, you know, the Berlin era, there was a dissident eight.
Yeah.
So dad had this saying that he is the dissident nine.
Okay.
So he's the nine. So growing up, we always knew that because him and Cecil were so close. He believed in the vision that Cecil had. Mm-hmm. He believed in rights for the people. And daddy fight for that all his life. And I admired that.
Yeah.
My dad wasn't a perfect person. But daddy believed in standing up for the people and the rights of the people. And when my father passed in 2011, I said to myself, Dad, I'm going to take on the mantle. And I am going to fight. I am going to fight for the rights of the people now. Saying that, in 2017, I went more full force behind a candidate that I believe I wouldn't call name.
Yeah, yeah.
I became very involved more than I did previously. And I became a team leader for a certain polling division in one of the areas. And with me and my team, I brought in the three polling divisions with our team for that area. And
so let me just make a note. Mm-hmm. What you're showing me is that you have both political experience on the ground,
like
in the politics of this thing.
Yes.
How we engage people.
Yes.
How we share our message.
Yes.
But you also have the sort of grounding of a political culture.
Yes.
That's sort of older than you. That you grew into and that people sort of made space for you to be able to understand.
Is correct.
I just want to say this here. I think these are things that are important for new candidates mm-hmm. to think about, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What am I bringing to the table?
Yes.
And how did I get here?
That's right.
Right? Because you need to be rooted in an ideology.
And you got to believe what you do.
Yeah.
I believed in the message of the FNM in 2017, the people's time. I think a lot of us did.
Yeah.
I believe that was young leaders coming up, a different type of leader. You had a new leader for the Everett's, Dr. Minnis.
Yeah.
And then they, of course, brought in new candidates that had new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ideas that they had, I believed in. The message of the people's time was like, yes, this is the time now that the people...
In fact, I want to ask y'all, what is your political slogan? Because the people's time was brilliant, mm-hmm. right? That's brilliant. You know what else is brilliant?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's better in the Bahamas. Like, mm-hmm. so not even just the political slogans, mm-hmm. even our tourism slogans. They're so brilliant.
Well, we all call it slogans.
Yeah.
Like I say, I do not get involved with anything unless I believe in it.
Yeah.
And... like I said, I was a PDM from 2005, and I met Mr. Stewart. I'm going to tell you the slogan, but I want to give you this story. My husband and I had a similar radio talk show on Cool 96 at that time.
Okay.
Miss Andre Gottlieb mm-hmm. Owned Cool 96, and we had a talk show called the Keep It Real Talk Show.
Okay.
How that came about is because if you remember, we had a bad hurricane in Freeport during the 2005-2007, mm-hmm. which was Hurricane Jean and Francis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And on that talk show, we believe that we were engaging people in trying to help persons to go through this season of Disaster. And because if you know Freeport, Freeport was considered the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that hurricane really brought everyone down to their knees, including us. So we felt like that because we are Christians, and I say in Christians, a disciple of Christ. I believe I'm a disciple of Christ because if everybody's in these Christians, then that's a different story. But so we decided to, help persons through communicating on the radio, persons who have problems, persons who need our counseling. And during that time, we had persons calling in for food and clothes and, you know, roof over their head. And, you know, me and my husband said to ourselves, let's see what we can do. Well, we got together and we called up a couple of the businesses around there, and they did sponsor us with food, clothing, getting you out from medicine to
transportation and things like that.
We were down on food, and I heard about this party, this young little party coming up in Nassau, where these people were feeding people. So I said to my husband, we got to get help. We want to continue doing this, so we need the help. But lo and behold, we were walking through Port Mukai, and I looked around. I heard a person say, oh, that is Cassie Stewart from the BDM. That's the man from the BDM. Turn around, I look, I saw him, but I didn't say anything. I went home and I told my husband, Joe, I said, we got to contact this man, this is the man. We called him. He didn't know us.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, I said, could you just send us a box? I told him what we were doing. I said, I heard what you're doing. I said, and we're just asking, we're just reaching out. I believe in community service. I believe in community working together. And he said to me, he said, what do you need? And I said, well, Mr. Stewart, we just need a box of rice and some, you know, tuna. Yeah. 2 weeks later, Mr. Stewart in the BDM called me and said, we are on our way. Brought down a trailer of food to feed the people of Freeport in the bazaar. This is a man that I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
I look at my husband and I said to him, now this a leader I would like to follow. Because he has the heart for the people. You don't have to know him. He don't have to know you. You just say, I need help. So,
because I sit near as I await my trailer load of Cameron.
And she can get me in trouble on the show tonight.
What?
She can get me in trouble on the show tonight.
It leads me to, I would be sort of running out of time. Mm-hmm. I already got 8 texts here for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, I'm going to ask both of you this question. That's honorable, right? The whole thing is honorable. The disregard for whether you're a party member, if you're going to support me or not, here, we're going to, all of that is admirable. But how do you feel about this juxtaposition or this question, right? Is it time for us to move away from charity and asking and thanking people for charitable donations and move towards a real economic reform and strategy that will mean that less people have to rely on charity and more people have equal access to the economy?
Well, that is that is something that we as a party have been preaching for the last 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because every child that is born have to suck from a mother's breasts. You become dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in life goes through three stages, from dependent, then you're independent, and then you're interdependent. Us as a country, we are hovering, we're stuck on dependency.
Mm-hmm.
We want to suck from the breasts of the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think it's need for us to be weaned off the breasts and become independent for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You see, one of the things that we learned is that, you know, we all want manna from heaven,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's easy. You don't have to work. The manna falls from heaven, you get up this morning, the bread on the floor, you know, we just go and pick the bread up and be good. And then when we tired of the bread, we complain to God, we want the fish, and he give you the fish.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we miss is that same scripture that said, when they crossed the Jordan, the manna stopped.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it is time for you to grow your own corn,
that's right.
Plow your own fields, plant your own peas, grow your own pigeon, your chicken, your pig, and so on. And so it leads me to this point that after 47 years of independence, it is time for us to become an independent nation, a self-sustaining nation where we can feed ourselves across the board agriculturally.
And we could decide who we want to be interdependent with.
Interdependence comes when we have enough grain that we grow, enough rice that we grow, enough corn that we grow that we could say to Jamaica and Haiti and so on. So we are now interdependent. We are giving to others. Mm-hmm. But we are still hovering between the dependent stage. And so it is time for us now to get off the breast. Mm-hmm. It is time for get off the political breast, looking for the politician for a job, mm-hmm. looking for somebody to do something for us. But we have to build this nation. Our nation can only be built with us, with our hands.
Absolutely.
Listen. And so if we take the theory that something gonna fall from heaven, even God himself stopped that. Mm-hmm. Because it is not natural for human beings to wait for somebody. One of the commands that we've gotten is that go and work the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the Commonwealth of the Bahamas from Bimini to Inagua, there's a lot of unworked ground. There's so much things that we could do with our islands through building vertical farming.
That's a whole other question I had, right? Like, mm-hmm. how do we drive development, particularly in family islands, right? How do you drive development but balance that with environmental stewardship, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And prioritizing the need and the obligation to protect and preserve the environment.
When it comes to the environment, we must understand that there is something called sustainable development. Mm-hmm. And sustainable development is development which meets the needs of the present, but it doesn't compromise future generations of meeting their own needs. Mm-hmm. In other words, we won't put a future generations at risk. When it comes to land, we were not balanced in terms of sustainable development. What in the 60s and 70s, they took all the choice land. Mm-hmm. And when I mean took all the choice land, because I have a copy of a list of all of the crown land that was given away from 1960 to now. And when you see what they did, they put the future generations at a disadvantage because they took all the land for free. And now a generation is rising up of professionals. We can't get access to the land because they've now priced it out of the market.
If you think the professionals have a problem, you need to check out poor people that don't have no degree.
But you see, that's what I'm trying to get. Yeah. So if it's a problem at this level, imagine what everybody else is going through.
Right. Yeah.
And so when we look at building a country, we got to think about future generations of Bahamians.
And particularly with this housing crisis. Now, I say it's a housing crisis. What do you say? Are we in the midst of a housing crisis?
For me, I think what we're in, beyond a housing crisis, we are in a national crisis because the country has a $9.8 billion debt, right? The central bank governor says that 90% of everybody in the Bahamas has, less than 90 days worth of money in case of emergency. That was before COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So we've been here 2 years now, right? Mm-hmm. So you have, but 90% of the people got but less than $300,000 in their bank account. So how do you have our look at getting a house when you ain't got no money in the first place?
Oh, yeah.
And then the banks put restrictions because banks are private operations that are looking to make a profit. They're not here to deal with any social issues. However, when you look at when you go to the banks have their policies which are so stringent, it is almost difficult for you to get access to the banks. Then you had many people lost their jobs in this crisis.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so they ain't got no money to eat.
This point right here.
How we can get a house.
It's almost difficult to even access the bank, right? Mm-hmm. So I asked this question, what's the purpose of a bank if everybody can't access it? B, right? And so, and the second one is a little more difficult, right? Like I look at there's a story in the Tribune today saying mortgage banks looking for the creme de la creme. And it made me think, what is more important in this relationship here, right? Is it that people need housing, whether it's a home or it's a rental property, or is it that banks need to make a profit? And how do we find that balance, and where does banking reform sit on your agenda of things?
Oh, you are so tempting today.
We don't have a lot of time.
I know, let me try to compress it. I had somebody that very close to me applied for, they wanted to get a condominium, right? And they are an attorney in the Bahamas. And they told me that they said to the bank, listen, I make $150,000 a year. Here's what the bank told them. Under their new COVID rules, right, they could only consider 50% of his salary, which is 75,000, mm-hmm. right? And of that 75,000, they can only consider 40%. Mm-hmm. Now, he's an attorney, he can't qualify.
So listen, is that why politicians refuse to take a pay cut in the time of COVID? Because if they did, some of them would come close to bankruptcy, which would then jeopardize their ability to serve in the House.
I don't know why they do it, but all I do know is...
Now, because that's a banking crisis.
That policy is a crazy policy.
It's a crazy
policy. That's a crazy policy. And we need to reform our banks. You know, we need to open it up. For me, I want to open it up. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should be stuck and married to just the Canadian banks. No. There are other banks around the world who can do a good job. But for me, I believe that there are Bahamians who can run their own banks.
That's right.
There are Bahamians who have money. I said, open it up, allow Bahamians to now get into the banking sector so that they could be in the commercial lending business. There are people now who are prohibited from getting their lending license. How can you have the second largest industry in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that is not owned or being played with by Bahamians? Bahamians got to own banks. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way for us to realize the dream, the success of the new Bahamas. The modern Bahamas has to be owned, built, and developed by Bahamians. If it's not, we are wasting our time.
Now, it's time for business for Bahamians.
Now, listen, I'm an anti-capitalist, anti-imperialist advocate. And I imagine I sit on the other side of the economic table as you. But I agree with you there,
mm-hmm.
right? It can't work. I wouldn't say, I understand the need to focus on an economic platform when you're running a country. Without a doubt, that got to be one of your major foci, mm-hmm. if not the biggest one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got to find balance with these other areas. But I agree with you. If Bahamians aren't participating in the economy, it's a problem.
Aaron,
it's a problem. Might as well shut it down.
We are the consumers of our economy, but we are not the drivers of our economy. Mm-hmm. When you look at the hotels, the drivers, the number one industry, it is not owned by Bahamians. We have some now. Some Bahamians own some little small hotels. Let me get that right, right?
Yeah.
But the big ones are not owned by Bahamians. Yes. I want the Bahamians.
It's bigger than that. The tourism product itself is not owned by Bahamians because it's produced by a foreign imagination.
Listen, the casinos, right?
Yeah.
I want the Bahamians to own the casinos.
That's right.
I want the Bahamians to own the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Bahamians to own the banks. How can we build a country around the people, but not for the people? We got to build the Bahamas for Bahamians.
It's easy if you're building a plantation.
You understand?
This.
But you see, the mindset.
Yeah.
What we need is the modern Bahamas. See, this is why I'm speaking to the architects of the modern Bahamas. If you're listening to me, we need you on our team.
Let me rephrase this, because some of y'all don't think he's speaking to you. Some of y'all right now don't think he's speaking to you, but he's speaking to you.
That's
exactly.
Right. That's right.
You are the architects of the modern Bahamas. The new reality that we want, the PLP and the FNM can't take us there.
Okay, now, before I get accused of bringing y'all on my show and just agreeing with y'all about everything, call or hold the line. We're going to get to you in a second, or call back. We're going to take a break soon, and then after the break, we're going to let callers in. I got some texts here. And now this one question I wanted to ask you. This text say, DNA, NCP, BDM never win a seat. Never. First of all, sir, people used to say the FNM was going to never
That's
win a
right.
seat.
That's
never
right.
either. In fact, people believed that so much. I had a neighbor that when the FNM won the first time, my neighbor let off 5 shots with the shotgun, 1 for every term the PLP was in power.
Mm.
The people really never believed the FNM would win. So don't put that on the BDM or any third party. But that leads me to my question, and that is this. When is the BDM-DNA coalition going to take place? I ain't asking if.
Hey,
I'm asking when. But let me tell y'all why I ask it. We got all these third parties, and we got all this talk about coalitions and coming together for the sake of the people and for the sake of getting these other guys out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do things for the sake of them things. Mm-hmm. I want to know that when I'm making a decision, I'm making a sound and informed decision.
Of course.
And I look at all of the parties who could form coalitions. And if there's anything, why wouldn't it be the BDM and the DNA?
Yeah, I mean, considering... I was looking through our archives yesterday, and Arente Komolafi was a member of the BDM. Mm.
As well, right?
Yes. And Omar Smith is a member of the BDM.
That's right.
In fact, Lincoln Bean was a member of the BDM as well.
Oh, my
So goodness. all of them came out of the belly of the BDM. Mm. So it is time for us to consider how we're going to form the next government and shape how it's going to look. Those talks have been started, and there is some dialogue going on. There's a lot of mountains to climb and valleys to go through, but we'll see how it comes out at the end. We believe that there are a considerable amount of people in the DNA that can bring significant value to the advancement of this nation. And I am prayerful, Aaron, that, you know, we could perhaps come to some kind of arrangement, agreement, or whatever. But we're open for talks, and we have been at some point whispering, and, you know, they've been whispering back.
Mm-hmm. And see, people think it's just, because I like to crack joke, I just crack joke, right? Mm-hmm. I'd be in dead serious, because what we're looking at is, although we got a party like the Bahamas Constitution Party, that's been in the game for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the BDM and the DNA bring something different to the table. Both bring a degree of experience in politics on the ground.
That's right.
And both bring a degree of experience in governance, mm-hmm. if not in the House of Assembly through their various business pursuits and in the maintaining and running of a political party, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's a degree of governance that you have to be able to manifest, right?
Yes, yes.
In that. And so I think that if we seriously consider in coalitions, we need to consider what it is that these people bring to the table and the potential of them working together right? And in a sustainable way.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense for us to have the dialogue. And so we'll see how it goes. We're prayerful about it and see where it ends up.
Now, I'm gonna ask you this question about St. Anne's being the barometer for governance right after I get to these texts, okay. Right? So I got a text here that says... Why, thank you, text to Miss Green, morning too straight. He mean the FNM. That's what he mean. I don't know. Good morning, sir. They were just saying to speak up. They're enjoying what you have to say, but they didn't catch it clearly. So we're going to reiterate some of those projects you're working in mm-hmm. in your constituency before the show goes on.
Of course.
Hey, Aaron, you really like tamarind? Nah, joke is that I promise myself I don't pick tamarind and sea grape for men, women only, because it's harder to pick than a mango or a dilly. That's discrimination.
Yes, Lord.
Your male cousins, your brethren, them, they need fruit. Look at how y'all just discriminate. I see why y'all man them is be upset at us women. Imagine somebody saying they ain't picking no fruit for you because you is man. And I don't think they mean you could pick it for yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, let me tell you why you should pick tamarind and sea grape. Tamarind is good for the liver. And so if you're drinking a lot of bush tea, mm-hmm. if you're taking meds, you talk to your doctor first, right? If you have any liver condition, talk to your doctor about using the tamarind fruit regularly in your diet as a liver conditioning tool. These things make plenty money, you know. In fact, when I open my bank, you're going to need to open an account. You're going to need at least 50,000 sea grape to get in my bank. Another text, Lord of Mercy, what is your political ideology? Texter. I got a texter here who was saying he needs a little bit more information about your political ideology. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, texter, I got it, you know. I think she's saying, look, I am rooted in a politic of service.
Service, is it? Service. Listen, I believe that it has been too long that we as a people, every 5 years we vote for color. We need good and true and real governance.
Absolutely.
I believe of empowerment. I believe that we as a people need to now encourage each other. One of the things I want to bring to the Fort Charlotte community is a sense of empowerment. We talked just now about depending on government. I don't believe in that. I believe that government is set up to add on to us. We as a people have to now look at ourselves and say, listen, for 40 plus years, government has used us because they know that if they keep us over the hill, especially the over the hill community, if they keep us in our mindset of thinking that we are over the hill, they win.
Mm-hmm.
They win every 5 years to see two parties. I believe this, though, that this is the season that our mindset has been changed. A lot. The COVID didn't just come for COVID's sake. COVID came for us to sit down and to see what's best for us. This is the first time for everyone. Mm-hmm. For me, personally, COVID got me to a point where I had to look and say, If I have to depend on going on the lines for food, no jobs, my neighbor getting put out, then I have to do something. Because if something like this happens again, mm-hmm. I want to be that person to make that change. And when I was asked to run, I said to myself, Father, if you're going to put me now into frontline politics, mind you now, like I said before, I always community builder. Mm-hmm. If you're going to now trust me into being a nation builder, help me to do the things that the people need.
Absolutely. Look here.
Go ahead.
I got some callers on the line. It's getting a little hot in here. And I got to ask you this question about St. Anne's. That's the hottest question. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning. One second, caller. One second. There we go.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Right there. We're here. I was just trying to get your volume up. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
What I want to ask the DNA is, I've seen where...
Now, hold on, pause. The BDM... Listen, ma'am, you can cause me get in trouble. We're talking to Nelda Fox and Cassius Stewart from the BDM.
Oh, for the BDM. Okay, I thought it was the DNA.
That's okay. That's because you were inspired by what they were saying.
I hope, like they're saying, they come together.
Yeah.
And they join us together. That's the only way they can defeat this government.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. They have to do it. They have to come together and stop this peace here and peace there, you mm-hmm. know? But what I want to bring, I thought it was them. Have you seen the screen where they have all those conks have died in Exuma on the beach?
What? No, I'm gonna look into that.
Yes, they have it now on someone sent it on my daughter's cell. That
okay.
You can see thousands of conks piled up on the beach in Exuma. Please look into that for me because mm-hmm. it concerned me. Something is killing them out, and they're all on the beaches for next summer. But I would like to encourage these parties to stop being peace here and peace there mm-hmm. and come together. Sit down with each other. That is the only way they can defeat this government, because wherever they have a meeting, the police are stopping them.
Mm-hmm.
No one can hear their message.
That's right.
So then you together and you stand together, you will win.
Yes, ma'am.
But then you are apart, divided. You cannot win.
Mm-hmm.
So let them come together, sit down, put all their platform together, and decide what is best for the Bahamas. What is best for the Bahamas.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I would like to get, if they can, I wouldn't mind if they can speak to whoever party I'm talking to is on, I can get their phone number.
I'll make them share their contact information.
Absolutely.
Ma'am.
And put that on your prayer list, ma'am.
Yes,
okay,
please.
I will.
Thank you.
And we are praying for you, because right now, this government has to go.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And I think, and thank you for that sentiment. I think more importantly, people are praying that they get to participate more. They don't want to beat up nobody, you know. People just want more from their government, and they want to be able to do more in their government.
Erin, can I say something? Mm-hmm. She talked about the conks dying on the beach, you know, and that is disturbing, and uh-huh. we must look at that.
Yes.
But I don't want us to forget that there are a lot of us are dying from cancer that is killing us. There's so much Bahamians that are dying from cancer, whether it's breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer. Nobody's talking about it. The number one killer of Bahamians is hypertension and diabetes. And so if you take a random survey, perhaps 70% of the people in the room would have hypertension. If you ask them how many people you know have died from cancer, and I've done this several times, most of the people raise their hand. So while the conks are dying on the beach, the Bahamians are dying on the land.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we got to find out what is killing us.
Right.
Is it the food we're eating? Is it intentional? Something is killing us? Because I find it quite strange that my grandfather lived to see 94. His aunt lived to see 97.
Mm-hmm.
But we are dying at 50 and 60 and in an early age. And so something is really eating away at the Bahamian lifestyle. And so what we want to do in the BDM is to make sure that we can produce the healthiest country in the region.
That's
we have a policy of number one. And we want the Bahamas to be considered the number one, the healthiest country in the Caribbean region. Yes. How do we do that?
I can tell you how you do it.
And so I know, that's him, Dan.
I was just going to say that.
You see? But we got to grow our own food. We got to turn these islands into farms.
You only saying things I agree with. I try to find something we disagree with.
That's all I got to say, Aaron. But because we have now, I've been talking with some people who do vertical farming.
Yeah.
And how do we put probably 30,000 acres of vertical farming where we can produce tomatoes and cabbages and lettuce and so on. And we can be able to sustain the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas when it comes to food products.
And the tourism industry, if we could ever get back to 7 million and the 10 million we know we could bring in per year.
So that's the most important thing is we need to produce organic food. This junk that we're eating is killing us.
I agree. Pause. See, I got a call and then I got these texts here, right? And I want to say this thing. See, you can't just produce organic food. You have to create an infrastructure because you have to continue. You have to test the land regularly and frequently. Mm-hmm. You got to test the water. You got to certify all your additives, right? And then you got to test the produce to certify it organic. And what I'm speaking to is not just agriculture, but to every single industry we say we can create with natural resources. Do we understand? It's not just a matter of pulling the sand out of the ground or pulling the oil out of the ocean.
We can get to that.
It's a matter of creating an
Hold on, listen.
I only making a point because we can't even answer this.
I can answer that.
No, I don't. We ain't gonna answer it. We don't have enough time. I got somebody here with one.
It's so much that the BDM has to say.
And then I wanted to say to y'all, this C. St. Anne's is a barometer for governance. Mm-hmm. I could tell what your capacity is to lead or govern depending on the campaign that you run in St. Anne's. Why? Well, because we feel it's traditionally an FNM seat. Mm-hmm. The amount of effort you put into a seat that you probably won't win is the amount of effort that you will put into governance, knowing that the majority of people may never be satisfied with what you do or may not take the time to understand why you're doing what you do. Mm-hmm. So St. Anne's is a barometer for governance. Are you running a candidate in St. Anne's?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when I can find out.
You can find out all this.
Where's the constituency office?
Listen, we are putting together our team of leaders, and I don't call them candidate, team of leaders.
Okay.
Because the way we see our country moving forward, we need leaders to take our country forward. Mm-hmm. Our policy of number one in everything requires that we put forward the best minds.
All right. So you go in for every seat for 2022? Going for every seat?
Yes. And that is our challenge. Our challenge is to find the best minds to put in all 39 constituencies.
Y'all better find a good mind to put in St. Anne's, because see, here's what the problem is with St. Anne's as well. No matter what you feel politically about St. Anne's, right? And I can tell you all this. I didn't have a problem telling the FNMs who came to my community last year, to my house for the last election, I don't have a problem with voting for Brent for MP. Mm-hmm. Because traditionally, this representation in my community has been great, right? Mm-hmm. I do have concerns about what it means for Brent Simonet to be in governance and at the highest level of governance. And so I have to consider the balance of these things, right? So people go into St. Anne's not realizing it's not just about the politics and the faces, it's about the work that you are willing to do on the ground in that constituency that determines how people feel about you.
Yes.
Now, they may not vote for you, but they can like you.
Yeah.
They can support you. They can talk good about you.
No, but what I think we have these prejudices of these communities over the past. Oh, they only FNM. Oh, they only this. And that has changed. I think because this COVID-19 has allowed everybody to stop and pause. Mm-hmm. And they had a good reflection on everything. Not only just the governance, the political process, the world, the way they see their own life, their diet. So everybody reflected on a whole lot of things. And is it making sense?
Exactly.
And that's the question I think everybody's asking themselves. Is it making sense? Because do I continue to eat the food that is killing me? No. So after COVID, you see everybody on the street exercising and so on, which was refreshing. But also politically, you know, these political parties are giving us diabetes. Not literal diabetes. I'm talking figuratively. In other words, they are not doing what we need to do to create us healthy.
I mean, technically, I would go as far as to say the other thing, right? Because if you're having a campaign event, why are you giving out soda? And you got so much resources and the capacity to shift the culture, knowing that people are going to galvanize around your events. That's how you do it.
But I wasn't literally talking. I was figuratively talking. So for the people out there who listen to me, that wasn't literal. I was trying to knock on the PLP in four days. I was trying to stress a point. The point I'm trying to stress is that people had an opportunity to reflect. Mm-hmm. And in their reflection, they said, we are tired. Look at where we are. The national insurance of $1.9 billion pension plan is already depleted. Mm-hmm. There's no money in the government right now. The national insurance is stretched to the limit.
We're running out of time here, but you're right. People have had time to reflect. Where can I find your economic plan?
And so
a lot of people are tired of these other burdens. Mm-hmm. But a person like me, I know where I jump in before I jump.
Well, you know, we got a 40-year plan.
Yeah.
We have a 40-year.
Tell the people where they could find it.
MyBDM.org.
And contact numbers.
No. My number for Fort Charlotte, if anyone wants to reach out, is 828-4902. 828-4902. That's Nelda Fox.
All right. Thank you. Now, I got a caller on the line. They've been there for a minute. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you're on the clock. You still there? Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you, caller. But I got these texts here. I got to read the text. The people is run hot on you. So the first text says, I agree, Aaron, but the rich want a charity society where their money is God. Leadership should be based on how well you solve problems and not on your status. Well, you know, Texter, we have developed over the last few decades a culture of solving problems with money. Mm-hmm. I think what Mrs. Stewart was speaking to is people have taken time to re-examine.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things when I walk around Fort Charlotte, I ask persons, I want to be a candidate that we work together. Let me know what you need. Let me know how we can do this together, not just a candidate coming. Yes. We have to work with the people of the community that we serve, not just during the election, but even after. You know what most of them told me? We just want you to still be here with us. We just want you to still work with us. Persons who know Nelda Fox know me as a ground person. Mm-hmm. I continuously love working with people on the ground. Yes, when it comes time for me to represent you in the House of Parliament, people who still know me know this mouth will fight for you. Mm-hmm. But I also will work with you. And so the people now are asking for the member of Parliament or the candidates, come to me, find out what I need.
Center me in the process.
Yeah. You know, we have, we're developing something called the Collaboration Board in Fort Charlotte. So my urgent persons who are listening to me, come to me. Come to the head office. Call me, 828-4902. Join me on this Collaboration Board. What we want to do is have every person that wants to be a part of the building of the community. So we can, and so we can work together to build the community together.
Absolutely.
And we also have a halfway house that we are
going to. Yes, I'm about to tell.
It's amazing.
Thought. Yes.
We are going in Fort Charlotte for persons who are.
So like a temporary housing initiative. Situation.
Yes. So what has happened, I'm going to make this quick. We had a resident who heard what we want to do in Fort Charlotte. I'm a person who's a quick starter.
They donated a house.
They donated their house. To the party. The house is, of course, need renovation. So I'm asking for everyone who's out there to come on board the surrounding community to help us build it.
So here's what I'm saying, right? You all support this Fort Charlotte initiative. And then when you support them, go support some other people, do the same
thing. That's right.
See, I said, Chick Chani, we teeth your idea and share it for the good.
Amen.
What a wonderful initiative. Guys, I'm so sorry. We are running out of time. I got to read these last two texts.
Go right ahead.
Morning, Lady Green. Good morning and congrats to the BDM and the ratified candidate, along with Brother Cassius Stewart, who should have been Prime Minister many years ago. Amen. I wish them all the best. Side note.
Thank you.
People are always talking about how astronauts are magnetically and magically drawn to the most beautiful view from space, being the radiant, vibrant glow of the Bahama Islands. So why then are they only making movies showing visitors from outer space first landing on Earth, visiting America and never the Bahamas? Let me tell you why. Because aliens have good sense. They ain't gonna park their space vehicle in the most beautiful part of the planet. Unlike Bahamians that will park their car right in the beach and push out the fumes on the beachgoers. Mm. The aliens have sense. Mm-hmm. We have sense too, just not as much as them. That's why we ain't space traveling yet, people. Mm-hmm. Just trust them. Thank you very much for that joke, Texter. The Bahamas is the most beautiful place in the world. Hi, the Americans must be the smartest. They are all they are doing is printing money. Those wonderful notes that read, "In God We Trust." Mm. Well, I don't know if that's the right economic plan for us, Texter. And on mm-hmm. another opportunity, I will ask Mr. Stewart and Ms. Fox what they think about that and these economic strategies that mirror American strategies. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, guys, I didn't even get to the questions, right?
Well, finish?
Boy, I got 1 minute left.
What?
Prepare yourself for this. And for the other candidates, prepare yourself for this. Here are the questions. How do you discipline or cause Bahamians to discipline themselves? You see, Pinland had it easy. Pinland was only galvanizing people around a political and social and personal construct that had already been established, ending apartheid against Africans across the world. All Pinland had to do was lead these people.
Listen, Aaron, it's been written already for us.
That's right, preamble.
Our preamble of the That's Constitution. Right. Our national success.
Now listen, you...
Hold on, listen.
You're talking pretty words, but I had to drive here this morning, and these people need help learning how to moderate their behavior.
Listen, our national success must be guaranteed through a national commitment...
That's right.
...to self-discipline. Mm-hmm. Discipline must be a part of our culture across the board.
Yes.
In order for us to realize the success that the Bahamas will gain, mm-hmm. it has to be built on the foundation of discipline.
Yes.
Across the board. You don't throw trash on the street. We don't disrespect our parents. As a part of our culture in the Bahamas, we are a disciplined people, and that's what we want. Right now, the reason why you see all this carnage on the street is because we are undisciplined. Mm-hmm. The reason why you see all this corruption is because we are undisciplined. Discipline must come from the top. The leaders must show discipline. Mm-hmm. And how do you expect the people at the bottom to be disciplined if the leaders are undisciplined?
Yes.
Across the board, we must be a disciplined society. Remember, our national success will be guaranteed through a national commitment to self-discipline. Mm-hmm. And then without that discipline, we ain't nothing.
No.
That is one of the pillars of our foundation, yes. of our country.
Yes. Thank you.
Discipline.
Thank you. Look here, and I have to be disciplined, and I got to end the show. Even though my prior show host took a couple of my seconds... Don't say nothing. Here are some of the other questions that you guys will face in the future and some of y'all other candidates will face. It'll take 10 years before we could have another referendum, but we got some issues we need to fix in the short term. So how are you going to fix campaign finance reform? Fixed election dates. Don't say nothing. Turnlets. Constitutional equality between men and women, right? What are we going to do about natural resources? We have to talk about the archipelagic exterior and its development, protecting the vulnerable, freedom of information. To republic or not to republic? And most importantly, how will you balance your obligation and duty to follow the rule of law, your duty to country and citizens, to constituents, to PM and cabinet and party? And Ms. Fox, that's for you too, because
yes,
when
you
become PM,
of
we
course.
All have to learn how to use the law that exists
right.
to ensure that he too follows the rule of law.
You discipline, know, one of the, discipline.
I gotta go. I ain't got no more time.
Discipline.
You gotta have us back.
That's right. But give us your contact information
yes.
one last time.
So go to www.mybdm.org. That's our website. Go on our Facebook page for Fort Charlotte. It's the Facebook Fort Charlotte. Also go on to Bahamas Democratic Movement on YouTube. See our plans. Search us up. Please do call. 828-4902. Join us. Help us secure the future
of the next generation.
And like they said, donate fruit to Aaron Green. Bahamas, you have a great day. You've been tuned into 96.9 FM, and that means Lee Van Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Amen.
Thank you.